The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Christine Kane explains why believers never retire.
And what the devil's done is tried to say you're obsolete because you've got a few wrinkles. You're obsolete because your age is up, as if somehow we age up. We don't age, we just sort of age out into eternity. I'm just like stepping from here to there. I'm not getting old. I don't even know what the getting old means. I'm just going home. I'm on my way home. I'm not on my way to the grave.
Join us as we spend Wednesdays in the Word next.
You're great. I wish you were sitting right here. You ought to come sometime to our tapings. Call Life Outreach and say, when can we come? Who will be your guests? And you join us. This has been an exciting week. Christine Kane is teaching today. I'm James Robinson. If you didn't know, my wife Betty and I have been on a 51-year journey in marriage together, and we love every minute of it. It gets better every day. And Christine, now think about this. Here's this incredible release of river from down under, flowing up all over America as well as Australia. Christine Kane is teaching, now think about this, I'm reading the title, The Fountain of Youth, Myth or Reality? Well, I tell you what, I think Betty, people look at Betty and say, boy, you got the Fountain of Youth, and it is, it's just hanging out with me, and that's what it does. Here's the deal, she is going to say some incredibly important things. So I want you to receive and listen to Christine Kane on Wednesdays in the Word. Here's Christine, welcome her.
Dictionary definition for a generation is simply a group of people that are alive at the same time. So if you're watching this and you're 90, if you're alive, which I hope you are because you're listening to me, and so if you're alive, that means don't go, well, it's all just about the younger generation. A generation is a group of people who are alive at the same time. So we need everybody contributing to life. We need the whole church working together. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What the devil has always tried to do is divide that up, because he knows that if we could take the wisdom of the older generation, the resources of the middle generation, and the zeal of the younger generation, if we get all that working together, we might just checkmate the devil. And so he thinks if I can just divide them up and I can make one think that they're obsolete, and I can have this one just being arrogant, thinking they're all that in a bag of chips because they wear skinny jeans. You know, it's kind of like you... I love you all, young people. I am a young person, okay? But you know what? If we could get all that working together, then I'm telling you, we'll give the devil a run for his money, and we will do what God has left us on the earth to do. This is a divine eternal relay. It's not over. We're not in the cloud of witnesses grandstands yet. Just because you're sitting here in this studio does not mean that you're in the heavenly grandstands. I just want you to know. I know we're very close to that with James and Betty, but you know, the truth is that we're not in that heavenly grandstand. And what we must ensure we do is we're still on earth. And whatever age you are, whatever color you are, whatever your background is, whatever nationality you are, God has a plan and a purpose, and he needs us all to pick up our batons and run this race, because we are still young while we're still here on this earth. And so, you know, the fact is that we're expected to live a lot longer now than we ever did. I'm going to give you some statistics. A child born 1,000 years ago was expected to live about 24 years. I know. A child that was born in the United States, I'll give you the US statistics, 100 years ago, if you were a male, you were expected to live for 49 years. If you were female, yes, you were expected to live 51 years. A child that was born 50 years ago was going to live for 66 years if they were a male, 72 years if they were a female. And a child born today in America, of course, this is an average, would live to 78 years if they were a male, and 79 years if they were a female. And so we've gone from 24 years to 79 years. Have you ever wondered why? Of course, medicine, science and technology and health has all helped us to live longer, but ultimately God in his sovereignty has decided that this generation is going to live longer than any other generation. I've been thinking a lot about this over the last week. And that is not so that we can become obsolete and go, oh, okay, I'm going to hit the age where people used to die and I'm going to retire. That's what we've done. We've said, why don't you die before you die? And most of us are dead before we die, and the thing that kills us is all of this unused life that we're carrying around. Because God says, hang on a minute, they used to live 50 years ago until they were 66. Now they live until they're 79. So we'll put the retirement age at about 65 and so tell you you're now obsolete, you have nothing to contribute, you're just finished because, you know, you're living longer, but that's when you used to die. And I'm thinking, why are we doing and why are we bowing down to this and accepting it as if somehow it's some sort of truth that I'm going to retire? There is no retirement in the Bible. There's only refirement. And I'm going to show you that from Scripture. I'm trying not to jump ahead of myself and say, you have got to tune in every week. I told you, I'm going to be cheaper than any anti-wrinkle cream and better than any procedure is you tune into this television screen every week and I'm going to teach you how to stay young, because from Scripture, I'm going to show you there is no such thing as retirement. Amen. You know, my mother-in-law, Nick's mum, was 87 and she was promoted to heaven from, you know, in Australia a couple of months ago. And you'll see her on the screen. She is so beautiful and she was full of life. I mean, that woman, every wrinkle, she earned it. She had 15 full-term pregnancies in 17 years. Yes. And if you couldn't hear that on the other side of the screen, that was all the women that actually know what that means. You know, they really just did not have any television in that part of Australia. And yes. I have two children and I remind my mother-in-law, this is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, because my mother-in-law does not even think that you have rated as a woman until you're 10th. And so anyway, it is very... But you know, that woman, she was still cooking dinners, and if we went over for dinner and all the, you know, the living children, the 12 living children were there, she would cook 12 individually, 12 individual meals based on their likes and not their likes. I'm thinking, that ain't happening, not in my house. You all get the same brand of noodles, thanks. And Nelson Mandela was 72 when he was released from prison and then later became Prime Minister of South Africa. I mean, seriously, 72. Most of us are in our RV just taking pictures of the... I'm like, knock yourself out, do that, but do that in your spare time, not as your major purpose. God has left you on earth. I am on a little bit of a rampage in the body of Christ to say, you know what, don't check out before you're out. You're still here. If you're still breathing, if you didn't wake up in a very cold room, in a very sealed body and sealed bag, that means that you're, you know, you really are alive. And so we've got to do, this is not a dress rehearsal for the real thing. You only get one shot at this thing called life, because you and I are not a product of time, we're a product of eternity. God has plucked us out of eternity, He has positioned us in time, and He's given us gifts and talents for the purpose of serving our generation. This is not where you retire. We are going to go to heaven, and that is our home, and that's where we go, oh, I'm finally home. I now get an eternity of an awesome life, whatever that's going to be like. I can't even imagine it because I'm a finite peon and He's an infinite God. But when I get there, it'll be better than I know. That's all I'm saying. And so the point is, though, it's going to be amazing, but I've got a job to do here on earth, and what the devil's done is tried to say you're obsolete because you've got a few wrinkles. You're obsolete because your age is up, as if somehow we age up. We don't age, we just sort of age out into eternity. I'm just like stepping from here to there. I'm not getting old. I don't even know what the getting old means. I'm just going home. I'm on my way home. I'm not on my way to the grave. My body might fall into a casket, but man, you should see the new and improved version. I'm getting up there. It's going to be so awesome. So awesome. Knock yourself out, magazines. What God's given me is better. Mother Teresa, still at 85 and 86, was running her phenomenal mission, because that's what purpose does. Purpose keeps you young. Yeah. Purpose keeps you young. Oh, she had more wrinkles than almost anyone. I bet you she never had any procedures, but that woman had more life than anyone that you could see. My spiritual mum, you know, is Joyce Meyer. I spent a couple of days with her last week. The woman's 71. She talks, her a potential television audience is 4 billion people, two-thirds of the world. Two-thirds of the world is, and every day. And she was telling me what she had just done that day, and I needed a nap. And I'm thinking, like, I'm thinking, super granny for Jesus. That's what I am going to be. I am just, and she's just thinking, how are we going to reach more people? How are we going to help more people? And I thought, she ain't getting into any RV anytime soon. And so I was, like, so excited to see that. And, of course, James and Betty Can you even imagine? Look at them. I get around them. And, you know, we're so honoured that they allow us to be on this program. But Nick and I are around them. And James, I'm telling you, he's going to be the whirlwind in heaven. I think even the Trinity's going to go, "Oh, let's all sit down. James is here." He's like, the man is just like, "Let's go for it." So my deal is that you do not have to get old. Our text really over, our foundational text for most of our teaching is going to come from Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15. I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified Bible. You know, if you've never even heard the Bible on the other side of the screen, I want you to see this because this will freak you out. This goes so contrary to anything I read in these magazines, so contrary. But listen to what the Bible says. It says, "The uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, be long-lived, stately, upright," I love these two words, "useful and fruitful." Because, you know, our generation would like us to think old people are not useful and they're not fruitful. "They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." I think that's really complimentary. Don't freak out. Some of this stuff I read in the Bible and I go, right, okay, I think that means something really good. And, you know, it's like you sometimes read Song of Solomon's, you know, your nose is like a cedar in Lebanon. You're like, awesome. Okay, so I'm like, Nick, don't try to tell me that. It's not romantic. Okay, so... "They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic, stable, durable," I love this word, "and incorruptible. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God, growing in grace. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age." That is the theme of this entire Forever Young series. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, because they'd love to put us in a little home and say, "See you later, just go there and die and learn to knit and do macrame and, you know, colour in or something." Like, and I'm like, awesome, if that's what you like, knock yourself out. But you know what? I want to have a little glint in my eye. I want to have a little spring in my step. I do want to be a super granny for Jesus. I want to embarrass my kids and they go, "Mum, would you just take a chill pill?" And, you know, like, I didn't have my second until I'm 40, so I'm already going to be 150 at her 21st. And so I want to be full of life and I want to stay forever young, not mutton dressed up as lamb, but forever young in my spirit. I want people to look at me and go, "Whoa, she's still being fruitful in old age." And the fact that old age is looming for me, I'm still going to be fruitful in old age. Check this out. "They shall be full of sap." And just so you don't freak out, that means of spiritual vitality. It means they're not going to get old and cynical. Oh, I've seen that before. Heard that sermon before. Oh, yeah, those young ones, that's what they all think. You know, you don't want to become the uncle or the aunt that nobody wants at the Christmas party. You know, the ones that you tolerate but you don't want, you go, "Oh, they're just negative." I mean, not all you, you're all Christians, but for us Australians, okay? So it's like there's always that one that you think, "Oh, they're going to turn up," and you already know before they come, they're going to be the most negative people on earth, the most cynical. They've been there, done that, got the T-shirt and the DVD, and they're going to tell you why it doesn't work. I'm like, knock yourself out, go die in the wilderness all on your own, keep doing laps around Mount Sinai, have a nice life. And... you know, in Australia, we just say it as it is. So to all my Australian viewers, I love you and I'm giving the Americans a heart attack. I love you all, okay? "And rich in the verdure of trust, love and contentment." It's quite contrary to the age. It says instead of getting old and cynical, you're going to keep producing. You're going to be full of spiritual vitality and you're going to have more trust of God than you've ever had. You're going to have more love for God and people than you've ever had. You're going to be more content than you've ever been in your life. Now, check this out. "They are living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him." Let me tell you, we live in a very, very serious hour on the earth. And, you know, more and more nations are becoming increasingly secularized, increasingly pluralized, and we need some living memorials. And, you know, you can't be 20 and a living memorial. Just because you've got a story at 20, I'll tell you when that becomes a testimony, when you're 50 and you've lived this deal through and through. And so the Bible says they'll be saved by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and that we love not our life unto death. We've got a very story-driven culture. And so someone thinks at 20, "I'm going to tell my story. I've got a story. I've got a story." And stories are awesome. And that's how we engage people through stories. But you've got to give it a few years before the story becomes a testimony. You know, I was abused for 12 years from the time I was 3 until the time I was 15. And, you know, in my 20s, I came to Christ and God has done amazing things in my life. Well, I had a great story to tell. But let me tell you, as I approach my 50s, I've now got a great testimony to tell. I'm a living memorial that God is who he says he is, that he will do what he says he will do. And that's what becomes of it. It becomes a living memorial. And so Scripture says that, you know what? We're going to flourish in all places, in all seasons, under all circumstances. This generation needs us because they freak out about a whole lot of stuff that we just go, you know what? You don't need to freak out. It needs living memorials. The absence of older, wise people in the marketplace of life is why our world is so upside down. That's why. I am convinced that it lacks wisdom. So you've got young people getting advice from other young people, and just they're just the blind leading the blind. And you see so many patterns of destructive behavior. I mean, you do not need to be a prophet. You just look at what's happening in magazines. You look at social media. You turn on what they call entertainment today, and you go, that's entertainment? That kind of debauchery? That kind of immorality? Treating another human being that's created in the image of God like that? That's called entertainment? Ridiculing yourself like that is called entertainment. So desperate for attention, you're putting yourself on reality TV and just putting debauchery and iniquity right there. And you think that's, we call that entertaining? That's what we call entertaining in our world. Watching people and their lives unravel and untangle, watching them make destructive choices, treat each other like animals. And we go, whew, I'm staying home to watch reality TV. I'm like, wow. That's how far we've come. But you put some wisdom up there, and you know what? Some of those things will change. I'm going to teach you how to grow up and stay young. That's the goal. Because I want to grow up and stay young. Because a lot of us, we think staying young means that you're going to be immature, like a child. We do not need any more immaturity on the earth. I mean it. Like, you know, you all might think this thing's operating okay, but I'm like, somebody needs a brain. We need just common sense. I think good old-fashioned common sense, and it's just unraveling worse and worse. And I'm very conscious of it because I have an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old, and I'm thinking, this is what they're growing up as their normal, which we would have considered the most warped view of earth that there really is. And we just sit there and we think it's normal. So I want to get us activated. I want to get some wisdom back in the house. I want to get some wisdom back in the church. I want us to take our place and say, you know what? Some of us that have got gray hair, I pay a lot of money to cover that gray hair. But the fact is that let's just take our place back in the lane of life that God has called us to.
Well, Christine, you are a treasure. One of the things that's so obvious about you and Beth, not only are you full of the Word, but you're full of a kind of a supernatural enabling and energy. And I don't know how anybody can listen to you and not be captivated and captured by the Spirit that flows through you. I really appreciate what you've said about listening to people that might not be in your age group and maybe the older to receive that wisdom. There really needs to be this interaction and communication for us to be healthy. And then when you're talking about fulfilling that role, one of the most important things Betty and I do, because not knowing this nearly destroyed my life, I needed to know my part in God's heart, because everything in God's heart is not my part. And I nearly burned out trying to do everything I knew was on the heart of God. So once I recognized my part, I was able to work better under control, and here was one of my parts. This is what we're about. We want to help others, this audience and you, find your part in God's heart. That's really important. Now, here's something I can show you as we're praying for you, and you feel free to call for prayer anytime you need it. But one thing I know that's in God's heart for you is for you to express His heart and extend His hands of love. I want you to see if you wouldn't like to extend His hands related to this situation. Whatever you do, don't look away from it. Look to Him, listen, and become the answer to the heart cry, the prayer, and joyfully become the answer to the need. Watch.
The night before a big day, it's when we focus on preparing, on being ready for our big plans. But what if your big plans, your loftiest goal, is determining how you will feed your children the next day to ensure their survival? In this area of Africa, that's what often defines success. Simply taking another breath in the morning. Too often, for children like these. That's a tall order. Drought has taken its toll, and food is now scarce to be found. So one meal a day becomes the norm for the lucky ones. But for too many mothers, burying their children becomes the norm as they are taken by starvation. But we know the solution. With your help, we've delivered it time and again. But now, it's time again, and we can't do it without you. Their thoughts of tomorrow shouldn't be a desperate search for food. By partnering with us, you'll not only sustain these children, you'll allow them dreams of a life beyond survival.
Boy, this week, Betty walked up to me at the house. She had just gotten a comforting letter from a couple of mothers who had lost their children here in the United States and had heard Betty talk about us losing our daughter and how Betty had ministered hope, because they said, you're the first person that really seemed like understood. And Betty said to me this week, and I really want you to hear it in light of what we just saw. She said, I keep asking God, what good can come out of that? We lost our daughter. We lost our baby. What real good? And then suddenly it hit her. She said that, well, you know, if you can really feel what it feels like to somebody to lose a child, maybe you could do more to move people to prevent mothers from losing their child. And I said, Betty, maybe by feeling that in a greater sense of understanding, we can help others understand what it means when you give life and you become the answer to that hope and prayer.
Yeah, James, and that really is what everyone wants to know that's going through a trial, a loss of a loved one, or one that's maybe really, really sick, like you see these children, that some of them may not make it, and especially the mother's heart. She does everything she can. She can't think of anything else to do, but she loves her baby so much. And so as a mother that's lost a child, I understand more. I used to look at these babies and I thought, and their mothers, and I'd say, I want to understand that hurt that they're going through. Well, I understand now. And it's a big hurt. It's a big hurt for a mom to see their child laying there and you feel helpless and you can't do anything about it. This is something we can do something about. If we'll just reach out and reach deep into our hearts and say, God, how can I help? We can help these children maybe not reach that point to where there's no return. Maybe to come out of that malnourished state to where they can live full lives and laugh and play as a little child should be able to. If you'll join with us, we can do that.
And if you didn't know, our daughter died of cancer in a big battle. And everybody did all they could to help, but in that sense, it seems like, you know, we weren't able to help, and of course we trusted for the miracle. But here's the thing I want you to know. I believe any of you watching would have said, if we knew what to do, we would have done it. But obviously, that didn't happen. But for the children, they just need some food. It's that simple. But they won't get it if we don't provide it for the missionaries and the relief workers to distribute. They're in place. We've got 400,000 desperately needy children located and already in areas where we can feed them. So we need your help to feed them for the next months. $30, $50, $100, no exaggerations, the truth. $30, $50, or $100, because you built food factories that provide this food in all these different areas. You built them, you paid for them. So we can do this and feed them, $30, $50, or $100, 3, 5, or 10 children for the next few months. If you would help us feed 100 children, a gift of $1,000. And I want to tell you, we've got a 100,000 child problem right now in Angola with drought. They're going to die in the next weeks and months if we don't immediately begin to care for them. So we need $1,000,000. We need 1,000 people to give $1,000 to take care of 100,000 children that are facing death almost immediately. And then we need, for the 400,000 total children, We need every person to do what you can. We have some gifts for you to bless you, some books that will encourage you and help you. But I'm asking you to go to the phone or go online, be an answer to that mother's prayer, be a solution to that crisis problem they face. And it is really simple, and you can do it. Go to the phone, use your bank card like a check. That's how you always use them, only that way. Go online, lifetoday.org. Make the gift God put on your heart. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for our feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for the next 3 months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you this inspirational two-book gift set. A Dad's Blessing by James Robison is packed with valuable fatherly wisdom and insight for dads of all ages. Rise Above by James and Betty's son, Randy Robison, will show you how to soar far above the circumstances of life and go higher in your walk with God. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you'll receive our Blessing Bowls, a great way to teach your family about giving and a daily reminder of God's provision for hungry and hurting children. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed 100 children, and you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Remember, we're sending a dad's blessing, and just these little lessons, this is it's beautifully illustrated, and they're very short little experiences of a father and children, and it's our story. And I promise you, you got the big boots and little boots. We got to show them the steps to walk in, the shoes to fill. And then our son's book, Rise Above, literally how the power of God lifts you to fly higher and soar higher than you ever imagined, if you'll just grasp certain truth. We're sending this to say thanks and remember the beautiful glass sculpture, the blessing to say thank you for being a blessing, and we really need some help for 100,000 kids that are dying in Angola. So if there's any way you can give $1,000, I know you will. Thank all of you, and thank all of you who are here. We appreciate you being here. Thanks for watching Life Today, and thanks for sharing.
James and Betty, as they talk with their son Randy about trusting God to help us rise above fearful circumstances in life. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.